Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know one thing, one thing that we all have in common. Don't we all want to know the truth, the truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, confusing, and often chaotic world? So welcome to the 620th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and that means solely for the glory of God. And the message today is titled 2023 Endgame Update number 36. And a bit later in this message, folks, we're going to tie it all in to something about the dire urgency of the hour. So, folks, as the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, Redeem the time because the days are evil. So I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can be wise rather than foolish. But, you know, there's one thing that'll help us in that matter, and that's understanding time or looking at time from seven different perspectives. Now, the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, I've been getting some feedback here, folks. It's gone now. I had another line open. I do apologize. But anyways, as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, we're just passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And be sure to stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, folks, let's get started with a review from something from last week's episode. Now, we've been covering the fires in Maui and other places around the world. We've mentioned Paradise, California, the fires up in Canada, and some fires as far away as Australia. And these are not normal fires, folks. They aren't. Now, I've been telling you that they're being caused by directed energy weapons, or DEWs. Now, personally, from my conversations with retired Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Bearden, and I've spent hours, countless hours on the phone with that intelligent man, I suspect that these DEWs are scalar in nature. Now, there's some people out there calling them MASER, which is a microwave version of a laser. And they could be. But I'm telling you, folks, I'm almost absolutely certain that they're not lasers. Now, it's very possible that they being the deep state players behind all of this, were painting the targets with lasers. Remember, we saw the reports earlier in the year that green lasers were all over the island of Maui. I think that was their mapping exercise to use the directed energy weapons that they did on August 8th. But I doubt that they used lasers to wreak the havoc that we witnessed back in August. That was done by either a MASER or the scalar directed energy weapons. But nevertheless, directed energy weapons were used in these places, and I personally believe, and I'm telling you this just on all the research I've done over the last 30 years, I believe that they were scalar in nature. Well, now Greg Reese is even exposing the deep state's use of the directed energy weapons, like I've been talking about for the last couple weeks. So the Black Hats have been using DEWs right here in the good old USA, folks, against domestic targets. I mean, you have to get your head around this. And I believe this has been going on all the way back to 9/11 in 2001 in New York City during the attacks on the World Trade Center. Now, we've seen the same anomalies in photographs from back in 2001 in New York City, where cars were completely burned out with no explanation. I mean, steel girders completely vaporized. And don't even get me started on Building 7 right now, folks. So why don't we take a listen to Greg Reese and what he has to say about the United States government and their use of directed energy weapons against we the people. And wait till you hear this, folks. There's some very science in there, too, concerning the color of blue, which is 666 nanometers in wavelength. Let's have a listen.
The recent fires in California, Australia, and now Hawaii are unlike anything we've ever seen before. They are being called forest fires and wildfires, but they are clearly something very different. These fires are burning homes into a white powdery ash footprint, while often leaving the surrounding green trees and shrubs practically untouched. In extreme cases, forest fires can reach temperatures up to 1500 degrees Fahrenheit, and the melting point of aluminum is 1220 degrees Fahrenheit. So it is possible for an extreme forest fire to melt aluminum. But there are cars with puddles of melted aluminum that were clearly not in the wildfire area. And melted glass, which has a melting point around 2500 degrees Fahrenheit. These are unexplained anomalies. In the California fires of 2018, cars were randomly bursting into flames on the freeway with no surrounding fires. We've seen these same anomalies in New York City on September 11th, 2001. Cars completely burned out with no explanation. In Maui, these unnatural fires spared the homes of the rich while burning the native homes of the working class. With precision, these fires destroyed the most envied, high-valued areas of Maui. For decades, directed energy weapons have been classified, but they have been on the public record for several years now. Directed energy weapons, known as DEWs, have the ability to burn homes with this sort of precision. But in order to be this precise, the area would have to be mapped out. In January of this year, green lasers were seen over Hawaii, which could best be described as a geospatial array for mapping terrain. We have seen that among the ashy ruins, there are blue-colored objects that have somehow survived the devastation. Blue cars, blue umbrellas, a blue boat, blue planters. Videos online are going viral that show how lasers can easily burn through certain colored objects, but objects that are colored blue remain unharmed. Directed energy weapons include lasers, millimeter wave, and microwave. They are all based on light frequencies, and different wavelengths of light affect colors differently. For example, in laser tattoo removal, different wavelengths are used for removing different colors. And this is because color is a quality of light. Each color has its own frequency. Interestingly enough, the frequency of the color blue is 6.66. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
I'm telling you, folks, the government is not your friend. It's a power that must be managed. It's there for one purpose and one purpose only. And if it gets beyond that purpose, which is to protect our interests, then it becomes a beast. And that's what we have right now, folks. And I'm telling you, all this dysfunction in the news today is related. The Maui fire in Lahaina is related to the deep state's use of the directed energy weapons. And the directed energy weapons, the DEWs, are related to the Department of Defense death jabs. They are. And the resulting inflation and the economic distress That's all related to the central bank digital currencies. And the central bank digital currencies are related to our social credit scores. And the social credit scores are related to the corporate social credit scores, the ESIs. And they're related to 15-minute cities.
Really?
That's right, Alvin, really. And more people, even politicians, other than Christina Anderson, you know, the parliamentary member from the European Union, they're speaking out. In fact, this next clip, I have a senator from Australia warning his constituents in a speech about the 15-minute dystopia that's coming their way. Let's have a listen to what he has to say to the people of Australia.
Australian cities are becoming digital surveillance precincts, with so-called smart city programs being rolled out across the country. Invasive technology such as facial recognition cameras, license plate readers, smart lights, smart poles, smart cars, smart neighbourhoods, smart homes and smart appliances, all connected to wireless networks and communicating with each other. So what's wrong with that? Technology is good, isn't it? All this is for your safety, security and convenience, isn't it? Well, let me tell you, your streets are spying on you, your mobile phone is spying on you, your cities are spying on you, and the infrastructure for future lockdowns is being put into place right now. Don't be fooled. You're being set up to be tracked through your movements and through the future of your digital wallets. By handing over your data, you're handing over the ability to monitor your behaviour, which will soon be turned into a social credit score. And once the central bank digital currencies are in place, you won't get to spend your money without approval. Digital ID will soon become a reality in Australia. Many other countries are already rolling these systems out, countries like Canada, Scotland, and many others. Eventually, you won't be able to access any government or public services, and you won't be able to travel across borders or access healthcare or the internet without a digital ID. Think you won't comply? I think you will. The last 2 years were the dress rehearsal, and we fell for it hook, line, and sinker. Australians are sleepwalking into this technocratic future. And while we're sitting around scratching our chins trying to work out whether this is really happening, Australia is drifting towards a dystopian digital future.
Folks, the bottom line, do not comply. Thomas Jefferson said that rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. Now we have to keep moving. And right now it's time for Sister Kathy's and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do every week, folks, let's get started with our coronavirus heist update.
The coronavirus, COVID-19, what call it, pandemic, the coronavirus, it's a scamdemic, they call it the great equal life, and say we're all in this together, except that for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be, and folks, that ain't either you or me, so let's all wake up to the coronavirus and just say they know that all their lives are unconscious.
It is one big scam, folks, and that's all I can call it. Now, before we get into this first report from the second guy over at Substack, just want to tell you that we're doing this show Friday night, 7 p.m., and we're doing that because tomorrow morning, Terry, myself, and my brother-in-law, Joe, we have to head up to Seven Springs for our nephew, Eric, and his fiancée's wedding. So just a prayer out to Eric and Tammy. May God bless you in your married life together, and may we have good weather, and may all those good things happen that we expect when two people are joined together in holy matrimony by our high and holy God. So listen to this next story, folks, this bombshell report. The FDA admits that their guidance on ivermectin was illegal, and now they're invoking what's known as sovereign immunity for the misleading statements, and let's call them what they are, folks, crimes against humanity, for their campaign against the use of ivermectin as an off-label treatment, an highly effective treatment for the SARS-CoV-19. Now, the reason that the FDA, along with all their other partners in crime, you know, the whole alphabet soup agency, the CDC, the WHO, the UN, the WEF, the CFR, the DOD, the Pentagon, the CIA, you know, the illegitimate, that's what they are, illegitimate federal government agencies, the Rockefeller and Gates nonprofits, the NGOs. The reason they've all targeted ivermectin, it's threefold, okay? First, it's exceptionally effective as an early treatment against COVID-19. And its mass administration would have resulted in just the fall off of global cancer rates. Yes, cancer rates, folks. Ivermectin coupled with Fenben, as it's called, a dog dewormer, believe it or not, has been found to be extremely effective against a variety of cancers. Plus, this wonder drug, ivermectin, actually attenuates and reverses the effect of the slow-kill bioweapons, you know, the vaccines, as they call them. I like to call them the death vax. So it's actually a mediator to reverse some of the ill effects of these bioweapons. Now, this is a historic lawsuit, and it was filed against the FDA by three doctors, a Dr. Mary Talley Bowden, Paul Merrick, and Robert Apter. And they were heard in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals just last week. Now, part of this lawsuit against the FDA was specific to the fraudulent and illicit claims made by the agency against this amazing drug that actually had a Nobel Prize awarded to the discoverer, I should say. Now, the FDA lawyers responded by lying. Now, what would you expect? They claimed that the FDA never prevented doctors from prescribing off-label ivermectin to treat SARS-CoV-19. And that's a bald-faced lie, folks. The truth is that the FDA did put tremendous pressure on the entire medical establishment and the pharmacists to under no circumstances prescribe that drug. So even if you could find a doctor who would write you a script for it, good luck trying to find a pharmacy that would fill it. If you use the big chain pharmacies, forget it. Now, remember, the FDA even tweeted that propaganda to put further pressure on the public and doctors in general. That was that meme that showed the horse and the dog. And it said, come on, you're not a dog or a horse. So don't take ivermectin. Do you remember that one, folks? And this illegally subverted the Hippocratic Oath in plain sight of everyone. I mean, every single doctor swears to do no harm. Yet by not using this amazing drug, ivermectin, how many millions of people died? So after decades of committing all sorts of various fraud, and that's what it is, on behalf of the big pharma owners, and that's what they are. If you ever look at the directorate of the FDA and then some of the top board members on these big pharma companies, it's a revolving door. They're either on the board of directors for Pfizer or one of the other big pharma companies, Johnson & Johnson, what have you, or they're sitting in some panel or some position of high authority in the FDA. They just go back and forth, back and forth. So what the FDA is doing now, folks, is they're seeking sovereign immunity to protect themselves and all of their perpetrators against any kind of penalty.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Well, actually, Gomer, it's no surprise at all. And then think about this, Gomer. If the FDA is legally, now they are legally, that's under the color of law, but certainly not constitutionally granted the right to offer general sweeping medical advice like they're doing, then how would it be that they didn't interfere with the doctor-patient relationship? Do you see the tautology here? Do you see the stinking thinking and all this? In other words, there's no room for an unconstitutional federal agency like the FDA to meddle in the intimate, individualized practice of doctoring. Doctors and patients need to have very comfortable, confident, confidential relationships. You know, the patient has to be comfortable that the doctor is doing everything he or she can in the best interest of that particular patient. Now, of course, the FDA always knew that its statements were outright lies. Lies cost lives, folks. They do. In fact, the FDA's guidance was in no small part of the actual driver of the entire pandemic protocols. You know, all the different things from the 6-foot spacing to the wear the mask to the shutdowns, everything that we witnessed, it was a democide. It was a war. It was a war against us, and they used the hospitals as dying centers. And then don't even get me started on all the murderous practices they did in the nursing homes. These are literally crimes against humanity, folks. And, of course, the subversion of the use of ivermectin, and let's not forget about hydroxychloroquine. And, you know, how about this? And this has been going on for years. Chlorine dioxide. Don't even get me started on that, folks. You can't even mention that in healthcare, or you're labeled a heretic, or worse yet, you're brought up on federal charges. How about that family down in Florida that was arrested for pushing, not pushing, but promoting this type of treatment? I'm telling you, folks, at best, the FDA guidelines for this whole scamdemic were misleading, and at worst, they were criminal. I believe they deliberately lied to push this wholly unsafe and grossly ineffective slow-kill bioweapon for a bigger agenda, and that agenda is population reduction. But I'm telling you, it gets worse, folks. The FDA lawyers on this case are absolutely lying through their teeth. It's a political, folks. It was to keep Trump out of office. And now what they're trying to do is cover up all their crimes. Think about this critically for just a minute, okay? What kind of political process resulted in all this? Well, short and sweet, a corrupt one. And at best, that's what it was, a corrupt one. Now, at worst, it's evil. And just like Paul said to the Ephesians, these days are evil, so we must redeem the time. But praise the Lord, with this latest lawsuit, the FDA has been exposed, and they're being implicated in actual crime. So let's see where this goes, and let's pray for everybody. But I'm going to guarantee you one thing, folks, and you know what that is? Here is how the mainstream Mockingbird media is reporting on it. My point, folks, is they're never, absolutely never going to touch this one, ever. Why? Because they'd be implicated in it as co-conspirators. So I guarantee you they're never going to touch it. These are crimes against humanity, and there's no other way to put it. Vaccine uptake, as they call it, for this, what is it, fourth booster now? The vaccine uptake statistics are collapsing. They're talking about like only 17% of the population is going to continue to play along with this stupid, crazy narrative. And that was a big moneymaker. And you could see the profits of all of these big pharma companies just falling off the cliff. So the FDA is going to do everything within its power to prevent any sort of repurposed drug from being used, because then you can't use the emergency use authorization. So had they used ivermectin, they couldn't have pushed the jab. And I'm telling you, they're going to need to do this because they have what the second guy over at Substack's calling PSYOP 24, the X pandemic. So what's the best way to wake up your blue-pilled normie friends and family? Well, you know what? That's a story for another day. But one thing you could start with is Building 7.
Are you serious?
That's right, Paul. You know, Greg Reese just did another one of his Reese reports on Building 7. So way back on September 11th, 2001, folks, that was over two decades ago, and I can remember it like it just happened yesterday. Just think about it for a minute, folks. That fateful day on September 11th, two planes, yet three towers collapsed. And they looked like controlled demolitions. And here's the real strange thing. Building 7 was way out of the reach of the other two towers. Yet World Trade Center 7 tower completely destroyed, imploded in on itself. Not the closer towers, but Building 7. And the collapse was announced by the BBC before it even happened. Have you seen that clip, folks? And why? Because there were very important records in there that would have outed the federal government in much of its corruption. And the SEC also had papers in there that would have shown the rigging of the stock market. Yet none dare call this a conspiracy. No, none. And the owner, get this, the owner and his two grown-up siblings never showed up for work that day. And it was the first day that they missed work. They always went to work at the World Trade Centers, but not that day. Plus, I mean, it just keeps getting worse. Plus, he took an insurance policy out on the building specifically to insure against terroristic attacks. And he did this just months before. And no one at the time were taking out such policies. Plus, the inside information about the future 9/11 event helped traders make trillions by shorting the stock exchange. And you know what? The SEC turned a blind eye to it all. So maybe that's somewhere you can start to wake up your normie friends and family. Just talk about Building 7. Don't even get into the other two on that tragic day 22 years ago, Monday, the day I say our freedom died. Folks, I'm telling you, we're being lied to by the establishment, and that establishment includes the media, the government, academia, the banks, and even the establishment church, folks. Maybe we should do a whole show on that. What do you think, folks?
What's the big question?
What if everything you know to be true was one big lie?
You know, it's sad, folks, but the American people in general, and I'm not talking about most of the listeners, I'm talking about the average Joe Sixpack and Susie Q, you know, the basic Americans, they've shown their true character on so many occasions over the last two decades, but never more so than those attacks on September 11th. I'm telling you, folks, had enough people been able to see the fraud and the absurd claims by the establishment media concerning this terroristic attack, I don't think PSYOP 19 would have happened. But what did the sheeple do? They just went right back to their sheeple practices, you know, being stupid, selfish, and stubborn. And that's what sheep are, folks. And that's how the average American responded. It's insulting and it's denigrating to all their fellow Americans who care and who love this country. And we're pointing out the obvious to them with this 9/11 event, with the whole, you know, this whole birther thing with Obama. He was born in Kenya. Try bringing that up to your normie friends. And what happens? You get persecuted. You get insulted. You get denigrated. And the same thing happened when you tried to point PSYOP 19 out to these people. Folks, I'm telling you the truth when I say we're being played. The Patriot Act was a usurpation of our liberty. It wasn't a Patriot Act. It was the exact opposite. It was a government power play to take away our rights. And what struck me during this entire time back in 2001 was how quickly the Patriot Act was enacted. It was almost like it was already prepared. Oh, you know why? Because it was already prepared prior to 9/11, and they were simply awaiting for the event to roll it out. Remember, never let a crisis go to waste. Didn't somebody in the Obama administration say that? Wasn't he a former mayor of Chicago? Do you remember his name? I do. Email me and let me know if you can remember who that scamster was. Now, the irony is that so many the most passionate supporters, the apologists, got so upset at the things that were put into place after 9/11. Yet they were the ones that were pushing for the Patriot Act. And you know what they got? Exactly what they deserved. Body scanners at the airport, all sorts of invasive procedures and policies. So if you're going to support something, make sure you know what you're supporting. Or don't complain afterwards when you get what you didn't expect. And that's what always happens. Remember for the Affordable Care Act under Obama, Obamacare, when Nancy Pelosi was asked what's in the legislation, she said, I don't know. We're going to have to pass it so we can find out. That's real stinking thinking, folks. Do you think that's a government that's got your best interests at heart? Now, on any case, you need to consider all the alternative narratives. Consider them all. Do your own research. Don't believe me. Don't believe anybody else. But I'm telling you something, folks. When you look at the Warren Commission report with the JFK assassination, when you look at the 9/11 Commission report, and then you look at the reality of those circumstances, it becomes very apparent that they don't line up. What we need to be doing is critically thinking here, folks. We need to continually ask why, how, who. We always need to be doing that. Cui bono, like who benefits? And that helps us ascertain how we're being undermined in everywhere we turn, you know? Now, to me, the most discouraging thing is that so few people in our culture want to actually know the details about anything. If you give them more than a sound bite, you can see them starting to zone out. So they need to live on Twitter-sized or Twitter bites, you know, just little snippets of info. That's all their mind can process. I'm talking about the average American now, folks, not you and me. And I call it soundbite information. And then anything that requires any additional effort, whether it's mental or some sort of logic, or forget about math. Most people can't understand very big numbers and very small numbers. And I talked about that early on in the scamdemic. You know, they just don't want to be bothered because these things require time and effort. And if they gave their time up for that, it would cut into their time they spend amusing themselves on their TVs and their smartphones and all their PlayStations. In short, it's all about priorities. And as Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 16, we must redeem the time because these days are evil, folks. Oh, and by the way, now they're saying that the vaxxed, I can't even believe this, folks, but the reports out right now by the federal government are that the new variant of the cold, you know, COVID is a cold, folks, is going to affect the vaxxed more than the unvaxxed. Can you believe that? Enough said, folks, because it truly is kooky. But we have to keep moving, and it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police report, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means salt, blue means band, dance, key means skill from the verb, kabu means to slant or display. Folks, it's all a lot. It's just what Latin curve, the curve of your car, honey, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money, or it'll hyperinflate before we're done. And it all Trump bad, must go good, bad, bad, bad is good, pop is down, light is dark, it's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for agenda 2030, and the new world will just say no to it all, and wake up before it's too late.
So I hope if you've been listening for any length of time, you're starting to see how all this is beginning to fit together. You know, since the stolen election in 2020 and the scamdemic, it's been going on for a lot longer than 2020, though. And a lot more happened way before the scamdemic and the stolen election. But that's when it went into what I call hyperdrive. You know, as I say at the opening of every show, it's like a new 9/11 event, but this time slowly unfolding while on steroids. So the scamdemic's related to election fraud, that's related to the Green New Deal, that's related to the Great Reset. And like I said, that's connected to the social credit score. And then that's tied to the central bank digital currency. And then that links to the wildfires, how they purge the land to build back better with their 15-minute cities. Oh, and by the way, ties into all the predictive programming in shows on these streaming services like Netflix Silo. Now, there's even more former political leaders and some active political leaders, not only the European Union's Christina Anderson and the Aussie senator that we just heard, sounding the alarm to the people about all of this. So many more people, including the United Kingdom's former Prime Minister Boris Johnson. You know, he's the poster child of the World Economic Forum's Build Back Better propaganda campaign. How many times have you heard Boris Johnson say, we must build back better? Plus the Saudi prince, just forgot his name. There's so many of them. There's hundreds of those Saudi princes, and I just forgot which one it was. Oh, it's Prince Mohammed bin Salam. He's dreamt up this great new way to market the 15-minute cities, and it's called NEOM. It's his marketing scheme. It's his version of a 15-minute city. So what does this NEOM stand for? Well, NEOM, N-E-O-M, means new future. The acronym was first used with this new future in 2017, October 24th. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salam announced a project involving the construction of this half a trillion dollar city. that was going to be entirely run on alternative energy. And guess who's investing in all this? The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the Saudi Arabic Public Investment Fund, plus there's international investors. And you can bet your bottom dollar, folks, that people like Bill Gates and Bezos and all these other moneyed people, they're all investing in it. So let's just have a listen to this promo that was put together by the Saudi prince. And it's going to sound so wonderful, but just listen to his little spin on the 15-minute city, which he calls NEOM.
What is NEOM? This is NEOM, or here, to be more precise, in the northwest of Saudi Arabia. But NEOM is more than a place. It's a home for people who dream big. Bigger than that. That's more like it. It'll be a hub for innovation, an entirely new model for sustainable living. The vision for a new future. In fact, that's how it got its name. But what will be there? There's Oxagon, a thriving city at the crossroads of the world, where advanced manufacturing will enable industries of the future. Trojena, a year-round mountain destination. And just remember to pack your skis when you visit. Or if skiing's not your thing, there's always Sindala, one of NEOM's many beautiful islands. Perfect for some R&R. And the line, a 500-meter high, 200-meter wide, 170-kilometer long city in the shape of, well, a line. No roads, cars, or emissions. And everything its 9 million residents could ever need within a 5-minute walk. But best of all, the entire region will offer unparalleled access to nature and will be powered by clean energy. All within easy reach of the rest of the world. I know what you're thinking. Why does the world need NEOM?
That's a good question.
The world needs NEOM because the world needs change. That's what we mean when we say...
Made to change.
NEOM represents a global opportunity for one... changing how the world does business by making the region a special economic zone, easing the way for entrepreneurs to blaze their trail. Two, changing the way we live our lives with preventative healthcare and the highest standards of livability. Sounds nice, right? And three, changing how we look after nature and our planet. Because without this, what use are one and two? But how will NEOM achieve these aims, you may ask? Within NEOM are 14 sectors, spearheaded by the world's best talent. Each sector has been designed to advance technology and push the very limits of human knowledge. Imagine NEOM as a prototype for a better future, a future for all. One being built to last. Sound good? Great. So when the world asks, what is NEOM? You'll know to answer that NEOM's a place that'll change the way we live on this planet. Simple, really.
That's right, Gomer. That's exactly what I said when I first heard this. I said, gosh golly, what could possibly go wrong with that? The truth is, folks, the world doesn't need change. The Luciferians want change. And you know why? Because they want to lock us up in these 15-minute corrals. And it's gonna sound beautiful until you're literally locked in. And then it'll become apparent what's happening. I mean, just look what happened at Burning Man. You had 70,000 people locked in that big mud pit after those rains came. And here's the killer. The owner of Burning Man, the majority owner, Google, knew those storms were coming, and they didn't cancel the event. And then you take this on for a few generations. Now you're locked up in your 15-minute corrals, your 15-minute silos. And then you know what happens?
We do not know why we are here. We do not know who built the silo. do not know why everything outside the silo is as it is. We do not know when it will be safe to go outside. We only know that day is not this day.
That is classic predictive programming, folks. That Apple show, The Silo, it's doing the bidding of the globalists, folks. The Great Reset, World Economic Forum globalists. And it's all part of their plan to depopulate and then to control. I'm telling you, they're lying to us. It's not about our health. It's not about saving the planet. It's not about a better way to live. It's not about any of that. It's all about them, and it's all about their greedy plans to turn this world into their playground as they eliminate 14 out of every 15 of us and then turn the remaining 500 million of us into their slaves and their sex toys. Now, I know this may sound tragic. I know this may sound gross, but it's the truth, folks. And they're even warning us about it. Take this next clip. This is a WEF graduate himself, Boris Johnson, former Prime Minister of England, warning anybody that would listen to him about the dangers of this Internet of Things in the 15-minute cities. Just listen to what Boris Johnson had to say.
Cities will populate with sensors, all joined together by the Internet of Things, and the urban environment is as antiseptic as a Zurich pharmacy. But this technology could also be used to keep every citizen under round-the-clock surveillance. A future Alexa will pretend to take orders, but this Alexa will be watching you, clucking her tongue and stamping her foot. In future, voice connectivity will be in every room and almost every object. Your mattress will monitor your nightmares. Your fridge will beep for more cheese. Your front door will sweep wide the moment you approach like some silent butler. Your smart meter will go hustling of its own accord for the cheapest electricity, and every one of them minutely transcribing your every habit in tiny electronic shorthand stored. Not in their chips or in their innards, nowhere you can find it, but in some great cloud of data that lowers ever more oppressively over the human race. AI. What will it mean? Helpful robots washing and caring for an aging population, or pink-eyed Terminators sent back from the future to cull?
Folks, what you just heard Boris Johnson admit there is exactly what they're doing, and that's known as the revelation of the method. And that's where some of the Luciferians' own minion even admit their own cunning deception on the masses.
What? Are you serious? Are you serious?
Paul, I am absolutely serious here. I am not joking, Paul. That's one of their methods. In their own self-righteous way, they believe that if they reveal it before they do it, they're justified in their deed. And then there's the World Economic Forum's advisor to Klaus Schwab. You know that that freak Noah Yuval Harari? He admits in this next clip that you're going to hear, he admits that the COVID restrictions were the Trojan horse the climate lockdowns that are coming. So let's listen to it in his own words.
It's not an extremely deadly virus. It's not the Black Death. And look what it's doing to the world. So now just try to think what will be the implications of a much bigger problem like climate change. Also, conceptually, it shows that, and here I completely agree with you, Rutger, that it shows you that you can change things on a massive scale. That, again, you can stop all flights. You can lock down entire countries. You can actually do that, and life goes on in some way. And this, I would say, may make us more open to radical ideas about how to deal also with climate change.
And like I said, those radical ideas will be to have climate lockdowns. They're coming next, folks. Oh, and by the way, you ever think about the Build Back Better meme we had during the 2020 elections? And it kind of like fizzled out somewhere in early 2021, I believe it was. But do this. Take a piece of paper right now and write three lowercase b's beside each other. B, B, B for Build Back Better. What do they look like? Squint your eyes a little bit. What's that look like? What numbers that look like? What three unit number does it look like? 666. Can you believe that, folks? And that's because that's what it is. Let's just have a re-listen to everybody, including Boris Johnson, who we just heard with the revelation of the method, all weigh in on Build Back Better.
It's a very pertinent question to ask, how do we build back better?
To build back better or whatever. We have a chance to reset the clock and build back better than before.
To build back better than before.
Remember the terrible damage of COVID as we try to build back from this global pandemic.
Joe Biden calls it build back better.
Build back better.
Building back better.
To do things differently. To build back better.
We're going to build it back better.
And build it back better.
In my plan to build back better.
Start taking all the problems that have been created in
right.
education and mental health and start to build back in a positive way.
I have launched a booklet called Build Back Better, written after coronavirus.
It's about building this country back better.
Growing conspiracy following it. It is called the Great Reset.
Unprecedented opportunity to rethink and reset the ways in which we live.
The great opportunity for reset.
The theory even calls Mr. Biden's campaign slogan, Build Back Better, a front for the conspiracy.
Build Back Better.
Building Back Better, our economy.
Build Back Better.
All elements of the Great Reset are fundamental to building the future we need. This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset.
It's a big effort to, some would say, to build back better. We would say to really have a great reset.
Conspiracy, conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
Oh, none dare call it a conspiracy, folks. Enough said on that. We have to keep moving. And right now it's time for Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Now the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's what it boils down to. But then what is money, folks? Are those green pieces of paper we call greenbacks, are those money? No, they're not. They're currency. So what is money, folks? Well, what we call public money today is actually currency. Now, in the past, we had what was known as private money. the private money of yesteryear. That was gold and silver coin. And now here's what happens. When you have public money, you have private debt. And that's what drives the fiat currency. But when you have private money, you have public debt. And that's the debt of yesteryear. So the way they used to fund public works projects in the past is they would have to raise bonds. So they'd raise money. And by raising the money, they would determine whether or not they could fund the project. So if people didn't agree with whatever the government wanted to do, whether it's a bridge or a dam or whatever, they wouldn't have any money and they couldn't do it. So along comes the Federal Reserve in 1913, and they take about 20 years to basically launch their scheme. So you have to wind the clock all the way up to FDR's administration in the 30s when he outlawed legal and lawful money, the coin of the realm, so to speak, which was the $20 gold piece. So that was when private money died and public money and private debt were launched. Now think about it, folks. They play this game with interest, and it is something from the pits of hell. It truly is. And it has eroded the value of the dollar, along with all the printing they've done. Think about it like this. In 1920, an ounce of gold was worth 20 U.S. dollars. In 1933, after FDR confiscated it, and he recalled all the gold, and he paid everybody $20, immediately after he did that, he revalued gold at $35 an ounce. A 50% increase. You lost 50% of your buying power, the greenbacks they gave you when they bought the 20. So there was inflation. And then from 1933 to 1973, for about 40 years, you have to get people's minds off the topic. They held it at $35 an ounce. And that's when Nixon took us off the gold standard. And then by 1975, that kind of stabilized at around $200 an ounce. Now, there was some speculation, and it ran up to $750 in 1980. And this is a lot of times just to keep people scared of it. But then it stabilized somewhere between $250 and $450, and you could look at the charts, all the way till 2000. And that's when we saw a run-up to $1,650 an ounce. And then if I'm talking about from 2000 to present, we saw a $1,650 run-up. So did the value of gold go up, or did the value of the dollar go down? Well, all you have to do is look at how much debt the federal government assumed, public debt. And that answers the question, folks. So no, the value of the dollar went down. The value of gold didn't go up. In other words, the dollar became worth less than it was before. Two words, worth less. Or you could say one word, worthless, because both are true. Now, the truth is, folks, that we will never see $1,000 ounce gold again, let alone $250 an ounce. Or could you even imagine the constitutionally defined $20 per ounce valuation? And what that means, folks, is that the dollar is dying. It truly is. The dollar is dying. Think about that for a while, folks, and then look at everything that they're doing. The only way they can do it is by this fiat money, by the printing press. See, they don't need yours and my vote. All they need is a printing press. Rothschild said, "Give me the printing press, and I don't care who makes your laws." And that's what they're doing. The dollar is dying. It truly is.
What is Neil?
Wrong one. Sorry, folks.
What's the big question? What if everything you know to be true was one big lie.
Now I want to unmask another lie here. I want to unmask a lie in this next segment, The Outer Limits.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Now, I want to talk about something in this segment today that might unsettle you a bit. But if I just came out and asked you, as a Christian, and you know I'm a Christian, folks, how's your aura? A lot of you would probably think I went off the deep end. I'm a New Ager now. And you'd probably call all your Christian friends and start a prayer chain for my repentance and my salvation, thinking that I've lost it and I'm a victim of the New Age. But am I? Really? Didn't Jesus call us the light of the world? And didn't Jesus feel his virtue leave when a woman with an issue of blood simply touched his outer garment? And wasn't a woman healed when the very shadow of St. Peter fell upon her? And what about those prayer napkins or those prayer handkerchiefs that St. Paul had? And what's all this about laying of hands and healing? Well, could it be that our bodies are bioelectric? Well, the truth is, folks, they are. So what I have coming up here is about a 10-minute clip, and it's one of the best summaries explaining the nature of our bioelectric bodies. And this is the big lie, folks. And I want to thank Sabrina Wallace for this. Oh, and by the way, I used to think it was her Rumble page, non-vaxxer 420. No, that's another guy that's uploading all of hers. Sabrina Wallace has a much smaller following of about 1,500 people over at Odyssey. The non-vaxxer 420 has about 45,000 subscribers, and that's where I actually stumbled on Sabrina Wallace quite by accident. But this is all fitting together, folks, and this is how they will enslave us. So let's just learn a little bit about our bioelectric body, and I'll catch you back on the other side. Pay attention now, because this is very important.
The bioelectric body. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, be that the spirit of God dwell in you. As told in many holy books, both flesh and spirit are an energy form, a state of consciousness and awareness of the perception of physical and vibrational process within and around you. It is in the flesh or the physical body that we can experience our five senses: to see, smell, feel, taste, and hear. As in the spirit, we use our sixth sense, the sense of vibration. It is this sense that actually combines all of them together to work as one. In the spirit is often referred to a positive charge of feeling, intuition, or sense that is charging up your energy. In the spirit, we often align to energies that are not physical present or able to see, but often can be felt and used to hide or move something or someone away from a place secretly, in thought. The sixth sense of vibration is powered through electromagnetic energy. Without nerve stimulation, the receiving frequencies that enter your ear will never reach your brain to hear. Without nerve stimulation, the currents of touch will never reach that same brain to analyze the feel. It's the electric wiring network of meridians and body nerves that power and connect the body. As our universe is being powered by electric currents and magnetic fields, all bioelectrical systems, including the body, receive currents of energy through an own personal field, which we call the biofield, sometimes also referred to the aura. The Earth's electromagnetic field is being magnetized from electric currents from the sun's magnetic field. Within this natural system, our body produces its own electromagnetic field, a pearl-shaped apple surrounding our body several feet wide, from which electric currents from the Earth run through our chakra system, magnetizing our spine and heart, which in return power the magnetic torus biofield. Like the Earth's protective layers, our biofield has protective fields surrounding the physical body, storing and processing energy and information, including memories and emotions of your life. The many electromagnetic fields and biocycles, like the Earth's and Sun electromagnetic fields, the Earth's electrical discharge from the surface and the atmosphere, the magnetic influence of day and night, the lunar cycle and the yearly change revolving the Sun, solar flares and direct currents within our magnetoplasma and the atmosphere affect our own biofield. Another cycle that is embedded into the Earth's electromagnetic field is the cycle time of our body cells. The process of cell division, in which chromosomes appear, line up, and split in half, and are equally divided between two cells, along with the processes of duplication of the cell's DNA, with growth and repair, take place in the day and night, and are synchronized with the Earth's field. Our brains are loaded with millions of magnetites, little crystals embedded into our brain cells, which can absorb electromagnetic frequencies and pulses. They are the base of our bioelectrical antenna system of the human body. Together with other organs, like the pineal gland, these crystals can process incoming pulse frequencies from the Earth's electromagnetic field and convert these pulses for the brain. The pineal gland produces the neurotransmitters serotonin and melatonin, essential hormones needed to balance the natural biocycles. Like humans, animals and bacteria have also magnetized in their bodies. It is with this antenna system that fish, birds, and bees find their way back home, even over distances over thousands of miles away. Like any other portable electronic device, the body needs a steady power supply that can charge up its battery packs. Through the biofields, our electrical sensors are being ignited, like a start engine, and stimulated with voltage. Our muscles form together several battery packs, acting like rechargeable batteries, the earth, the fascia are connected to our meridians, the body's electrical wiring system. When we move our muscles, we will generate electrons. This form of emitting electrons through stressing out the substance we call piezoelectricity. Each battery pack with muscles is supplying electrons to our meridian wiring system. Hence, working out or exercise is very important to generate energy and feeling good. Meridians run through all parts of the body, supplying organs, cells, and tissue from electrons and voltage. How can cells create and process electrons then? Some membranes can store energy. Their cellular structure is built like a capacitor, which can store electrons. Within the cell, we find the mitochondria, which has a rechargeable battery system inside. When charged, we call this battery ATP. When it gives electrons away through a discharge, our cells gain energy required for the synthesis of proteins from amino acids and the replication of DNA. A cell recharges itself through the Krebs cycle, a chemical reaction of carbon dioxide and fatty acids, creating electrons while utilizing oxygen as part of the respiration process. In the center of the cell, we find the DNA. Built supercoiled inside the nucleus, its billions of pairs of nucleus acids, or called genes, are well structured and have the shape of the golden mean. Everything in the electromagnetic universe that is shaped golden mean creates imploding force of energizing currents. DNA can recharge itself through scalar energy, which, like sound waves, are conceived as longitudinal pulsed and compressed waves created through perturbation of the medium along electromagnetic currents that energize DNA through imploding force within the golden mean, a shape which is everywhere recognizable in nature. Scalar waves were first discovered by James Clerk Maxwell, but were not fully accepted by science. It was Nikola Tesla who rediscovered it and created free energy technology. using the scalar energy field, also called the ether. Up to this day, scalar waves have not been recognized by mainstream science, but some scientists are utilizing its powers into new therapies of healing the electric body through recharging DNA. The largest superconductor in the electric body is water due to its dipolar nature and has a very high heat capacity. It is through water that our electrons are able to move, charge, and discharge, and that billions of chemical processes can occur to create energy and functions within the body. Water is liquid crystal, a vibrational substance. It interacts on frequencies, creating geometric crystals. As our electromagnetic universe building blocks are geometric shapes and waves, frequency and sound play an important role in its manifestation. Drinking clean and charged water, free of fluoride, chemicals, pesticides, and heavy metals, will create better conductivity and resonance of frequencies in body fluids and cells. As our electromagnetic universe building blocks are geometric shapes and waves, frequency and sound play an important role in its manifestation. Electromagnetic currents and frequency cause vibration. But what is causing electromagnetic currents in the first place? As God said, I spoke the universe into existence with the breath of my mouth. So even before the creation of life, there was sound. Sound, magnetism, and electricity form a holy trinity, creating resonance and vibration. Everything that is in existence vibrates on these three pillars and is interconnected with each other through electromagnetic currents and toroids. The geometric building blocks represent different sounds. Combining and shaping them will create a diversity of sound waves. That with the connection of electromagnetic currents and toroids will create a diversity of frequencies, resonance, and vibrations. Hence, music can heal the soul. It is a music where living organisms feel one and vibrate into higher consciousness. The amount of voltage in the fluid is being measured in pH, or hydrogen power. Our bioelectric body consists of around 70% of water. With almost 80 to 90% of water in our brain cells, it will have to maintain the pH at a desirable level. In bioelectrical systems like humans and plants, levels can rise to alkaline heights and fall into acidic depths. But the movement of electrons is not a chemical process, but rather a physical one. So when measuring the pH or the voltage in the body, you put a plus sign to the voltage when the conductor is an electron stealer, and a minus sign when it's an electron burner. So it is very important to use clean filtered and charged drink water to optimize conductivity for electron donor. According to cellular biology, our cells run at a pH of 7.35 to 7.45. Its electrical charge is minus 20 to minus 25 millivolts. So our cells need a voltage of minus 25 millivolts to operate and minus 50 millivolts to make new cells at work. When we measure the voltage of the Earth's electrical field, you see that readings are lower than 0.02 volts and far beneath 1 microwatt. It's an electrical environment that, through its natural protective layers of the Earth, distributes charged particles and voltage to biological systems, like our body, which are fully integrated into this natural system. Compare that with new artificially created electromagnetic fields, and the electromagnetic radiation changes the natural electrical field within our environment with much higher voltage, exposing our biofield, the bioantenna, and our electrical sensors to overcharged currents of charged particles, the same particles that end up charging our lungs and body cells with very high voltage and microwatts. By time, this will affect the cell's polarity and effectiveness, and where our bioelectrical system starts to ignite detox processes, trying to prevent the change of pH voltage in cells to lower acidic levels, and where the flow of electrons will behave as an electron stealer, resulting in whole meridians draining from voltage, which can lead to the many different kinds of chronic diseases out there. Gaining more awareness and practicing of the biofield and the bioelectrical body will give you more supply of energy, protection against overcharging by radiation, and less minerals will have to be digested for the physical body to sustain itself with energy. Will aid in getting a better balance between the physical matter and the spirit state of mind. Electromagnetism is the force that holds the physical structures of atomic matter together. If the gully sings as sweet and sweet, we are also singing as matter. That's why the reason matters. And thank you for watching. We begin the
gathering. Hey, Mika. Mika, are you there? It looked like you dozed off during that one, Mika. Mika, what did you think about all that? You were sleeping, Mika. Hey, folks, there's a lot to ponder in that one. So if you didn't catch it all, I'd suggest you just go back and listen to it. I had to listen to it about 3 or 4 times. And better yet, go over to Nonvaxxer 420 on Rumble, and you can find it there. Watch the graphics. It tells the whole story, folks. We are bioelectric bodies. Think about our bodies. You're maybe saying, well, Bro Ken, you're crazy. They're not bioelectric. Well, then if we're not bioelectric, how's an EKG work? What's that stand for? Electrocardiogram? Electrocardiogram? And if our bodies weren't bioelectric, why do they shock our hearts when we have a heart attack? And how do they measure brain waves? And why do they do shock therapy? Folks, I could go on and on. Bottom line, we have a body part, like Sabrina Wallace says, and it's called our aura. Yet we're not supposed to talk about that, because if we do, we're a New Ager, and we're certainly not a Christian. And why? Why don't we talk about it? Because our bioelectric bodies do emit an electrical field, and that's the field that the ancients called the aura. And we do have chakras, and the establishment has been lying to us for about 150 years on this. So the real question is, why? Well, the reason is that they're going to use our aura to actually enslave us. And that's what's happening. But we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for our Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Now, folks, if you even mention to a normie that the government has these things known as fusion centers and that the government has a big spy center, Five Eyes, you know about Five Eyes? United States, Canada, Great Britain, New Zealand, and Australia. And they spy on every single one of our telecoms, every single one of our emails, anything we communicate over the airwaves electronically. They collect and they amass into these huge data centers. Well, if you tell that to a normie, they're going to say, that's absurd. But as the eye opener to this segment says, the truth is stranger than fiction. It truly is, folks. And this next report, again, from Greg Reese, and I'm telling you, that man's doing a fantastic job. God bless you, Greg. Keep these reports coming. What I like about his reports are they're small, bite size. You know, right for the American population today with their short attention spans. This next one is titled Targeted Individuals. And what he does in it is he talks about the fusion centers and how they target individuals with all sorts of directed energy using our bioelectric field. So let's have a listen to this report from Greg Reese.
After 9/11 and the birth of Homeland Security, fusion centers were set up to monitor U.S. citizens, and the U.S. Department of Justice legalized non-consensual experiments on the public. These fusion centers employ civilians to target individuals and harass them, intimidate them, vandalize their property, and interfere with their day-to-day life. This is known as gang stalking, former high-ranking FBI agent Ted Gunderson reported in 2011 that himself and thousands of others were being targeted. FBI agent Mike German confirmed this as well. Several federal agents have reported that they were targeting individual Americans, including people who were simply pro-life, and that they were pressured to put more people on their targeting lists to legitimize more federal funding. These Homeland Security fusion centers are able to put any American citizen on the terrorist watch list without any reason or due process. In 2012, NSA whistleblower William Binney reported that the feds are conducting comprehensive surveillance on nearly every U.S. citizen and targeting whomever they please. In 2014, Glenn Greenwald exposed the methods used to target individuals, such as hacking into people's social media accounts, posing as that person, and contacting their friends and coworkers. TargetedJustice.com is currently working on suing the federal government for targeting individual U.S. citizens with different high-tech weapons, including directed energy weapons. The Havana Syndrome, when diplomats in Cuba were attacked with directed energy weapons, was not an isolated event. There are thousands of individuals who claim to be under this same sort of attack, and they have the scars to prove it. As far back as 1976, the technology to remotely alter brainwaves has existed, including voice-to-skull technology that allows the government to directly transmit voices into people's brains. As bad as all this is, it is likely to get much worse. In 2017, Dr. James Giordano gave a lecture on the latest government technologies to target individuals, such as neuroweapons to control brain function and modify memories.
I'm looking to target key individuals who may then be influential to relative aspects of their representative groups. I can affect individuals' brain functions in a variety of different ways, both positively and negatively, by engaging or disengaging nodes and networks of the brain that therefore affect their cognitions, emotions, and ultimately their behaviors. Something my colleague Jamie Canton likes to play with an awful lot is the idea of specialized neural operations. And here, once again, we're talking about the use of either drugs and or devices to modify the integrity of brain function that we realize can also modify individuals' perception of time and space. We talked earlier about how these may be used in interrogation scenarios, and this too may be used against key individuals, people to modify their perception of time, their perception of what occurred and what did not, memory modification, etc.
Nanoparticulates that can give an individual a stroke.
So what we're able to do here is infiltrate the brain space with nanoparticulate matter that aggregates in situ, on site in the brain, then does one of two things. Either penetrates from the vascular space, it gets in through the bloodstream, gets in through the nose, through the mucosa, or infiltrates the vascular space and clogs it. What is the result? What's called a nanoparticulate stroke or a hemorrhagic diathesis, fancy word, for it's a predisposition to individuals having brain bleeds.
He explains how they can make people sick with an undetectable illness to make them go crazy.
What I'm doing is I'm using a dispersion methodology to be able to infect sentinel cases with a highly morbid condition. These individuals complain. Again, this is a central nervous system condition. So they're complaining of whatever the bug may do. It'll produce some cascade of neurological and neuropsychiatric signs and symptoms. What I've now done is I've got every individual who is diagnostically hypochondriacal, and I've got every individual who's the worried well flooding the public health system, banging on the door. The CDC comes back and says, nonsense, that's not real. I come back and say, that's fake news.
He says they can already control insects and use them to deliver bioweapons.
I infiltrate that bug's nervous system and I control the way it moves. By controlling the way it moves, I control the way it goes. I control its wings pattern. I control where it hovers, where it flies, where it articulates. And what I can also do is I can then couple this to a very, very small scale set of either biosensors or cameras. And what I basically have is a bio drone. I can go one step further, where I can also impregnate that individual organism, with a very small-scale weaponizable delivery mode. In other words, if I'm using a very, very small-scale bioweapon, such as a very potent organotoxin, or the delivery of a very small level of microbes that we know can either replicate and infect, or is genetically modified to have a very, very high morbidity effect, I can then utilize this not only as a reconnaissance drone, but also as an infiltrative weaponizable drone that can then deliver some payload.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
What? What? Are you serious? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
I'm very serious, Paul. And do you know why all of this that Greg Reese just talks about works? Because like we covered in the last segment in the Outer Limits, our bodies are bioelectric. Otherwise, the voice-to-skull technology, the directed energy weapons like the heart attack gun, the bio drones, none of them would work. Folks, I'm telling you, the government hates us. They do not have our well-beings at heart with anything and everything they do. And they're using our public debt, taxpayer dollars, as they call it, to fund these off-budget programs, these black projects, these DARPA projects. Why? To enslave you. Because they're serving the global elite who are hell-bent on killing 14 out of every 15 of us here in the USA by 2025. And they're getting behind schedule, folks. Remember the disappeared Deagle report and now the destroyed Georgia Guidestones? They spelled it out. And I'm telling you, folks, when your enemy tells you what they're going to do, you ought to believe them. In fact, why don't we re-listen to this one synopsis of the Deagle report that we've played several times here on the show. Let's replay it right now.
What will happen in 2025? An international forecasting website, Deagle.com, published an interactive graph where it projects future prospects or trends for any nation in the world that you click on. Although the graph has been updated since 2013, their site currently charts changes in population, GDP, and other national factors of almost every country in the world from 2017 to 2025. Allowing you to easily cross-compare the statistics. They forecast that from 2017 to 2025, the United States' population will be cut down to less than a third of its size, from 327 million to 100 million, while the UK is whittled down to almost a sixth of its 2017 size, 66 million to 15 million. France loses nearly half of their population, while Germany is inexplicably trimmed down from 81 million to 28 million. During this same stretch of time, China and Russia are projected to maintain the same population, while India and Brazil grow by a few million more people. Why are populations dramatically disappearing in such a short amount of time? And why 2025? Deagle's forecast says that the U.S.'s GDP will fall from $19 trillion to $1.6 trillion, less than a tenth of its former self from 2017. The U.K. drops from $2.9 trillion to $132 billion, while Canada, France, and Germany follow suit, dropping from the trillions to the hundreds of billions in GDP. However, China and Russia are expected to grow their GDP by $1 trillion and over $2 trillion respectively, while Brazil maintains a stable GDP at $3.2 trillion and India loses only $2 trillion of its projected $7.3 trillion. The defense budget for each Western nation follows the same trend, a sharp drop in the billions. While as predictably predicted by Deagle.com, China, Russia, India, and Brazil increase their defense budget in the double and triple digit billions, clearly showing a major shift in national military power worldwide. Countries associated with the Economic Development Group known as BRIC, Brazil, Russia, India, China, arrive in a future with greater population stability, a growing GDP, and a booming defense budget. Why does Deagle predict such a bleak 2025 for North America and Europe? Little is known about the owners of Deagle.com, but according to their own website, Deagle is partners with and clients of the NSA, NATO, the World Bank, the United Nations, and other national and international agencies. They say the economic and demographic data used in the making of their forecasts is widely available by institutions such as the CIA, IMF, UN, and USG. Also, they make it clear that they are, quote, not linked to any government in any way, shape, or form. Either way, what will happen in 2025? And why do multiple other publications predict 2025 to be a tumultuous year? This is Brian Wilson with InfoWars.com.
I'll tell you, Brian Wilson did a very good job summarizing the Deagle Report. Folks, I've been talking about the Deagle Report for the last 13 or 14 years. And I'm telling you, it is their plan. They will depopulate this world. But all we have to do is stand up and do not comply. This is not set in stone, folks. You know, Jesus said that he established his church, and he said, upon which the gates of hell shall not prevail. So what's a gate? Is it a defensive weapon or an offensive weapon? Well, a gate is a defensive weapon. So if the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against the church of Jesus Christ, that means that as believers, we should redeem the time because the days are evil and do kingdom work, which is to occupy until he returns. Folks, I'm telling you, the government is not our friend. They hate us and they plan to kill us. And that's what in the process of doing. There's too many of us for their agenda. But I have to keep moving. And right now it's time for our Hopium Report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium. Now, I'm telling you, folks, just about everything we hear right now is a lie. So if they tell you something's black, it's probably white. If they tell you something's wet, it's probably dry. If they tell you something's good, it's probably bad. And I can go on and on and on. This next clip went viral on, I don't know if it was Twitter. It may have been Twitter. But just have a listen to this. It's titled, Trans Rights Are Not Rights, They're a Cult. Have a listen to this. I've never heard it put so well, and it's very short.
This is a message for all the trans allies out there. Everything about trans ideology is a lie. And it's a lie that is the exact opposite of the truth. Let's start with the basics. Trans women are not women. They are the opposite of women. They're men. And trans men are not men. They're the opposite of men. They're women. Trans rights are not human rights granted to all, but special privileges demanded by a few that remove the human rights of women, homosexuals, and children. And trans rights activism is not a civil rights movement, the natural successor to gay rights, but a homophobic cult that has attached itself leech-like to gay rights and is steadily killing the host. Within the double-think dystopia of the trans cult, gender-affirming care is sex-denying abuse that mutilates healthy bodies and creates lifelong patients for profit. And protecting trans kids is, in fact, grotesque child abuse that destroys their puberty, fertility, and future. And so, your allyship is, in fact, your complicity in the greatest medical scandal since lobotomies. And in this dark and tragic chapter of human history, you're not the hero, babes. You're the villain.
Well said. I wish I had an applause queued up for that right now. Folks, the establishment lies to us about everything. You know, at the close of the Constitutional Convention back on September 17th, 1787, Ben Franklin was leaving the hall in Philadelphia, and a woman approached him and asked, "What kind of government have you given us, Dr. Franklin?" And he replied, "A republic, if you can keep it." Now, when's the last time you heard a politician or a talking head refer to our once great nation as a republic? Well, folks, they don't. And you know why? Because they lie. just like they lie about the trans agenda, just like they lie about money, just like they lie about election fraud and everything else. They are liars, folks. And we, the people, it's our job to keep the government in check. If we do not stand up against tyranny, we will be enslaved by it, folks. And if we don't, we're going to end up back at square one and become slaves all over again. I'm telling you, folks, no one's going to come to our rescue. Not Trump, not the White Hats, no one except ourselves by the grace of God if he chooses to tarry. So with that in mind, I have a question for all of you. Do you have any technique or method that you use to wake up your normie friends? Well, if you do, how about emailing me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll share it with our listeners. Now, I have an idea, and I've been doing it, and it's been fairly good. You know, we're coming up on the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. Monday will be the 22nd year since that fateful day. And one of the most effective wake-up strategies I've had is to share a video showing the BBC broadcaster standing there with World Trade Center 7 behind her standing as she says World Trade Center 7 has collapsed. And then I show people a clip of the building actually collapsing in a controlled demolition manner. And then you can start to talk about the 9/11 Commission report. You can talk about the two planes, yet a third tower collapsed, well out of reach of the first two. And all the things I talked about earlier in the show about the owner taking out the insurance on the building for terroristic attacks when no one was doing that. All of the trillions of dollars that were made on the exchanges, yet not an investigation by the SEC. I could go on and on about these things, you know. You can play the buildings in slow motion and show that they fell. There's a couple that have can see one of the World Trade Centers fall and another building of a similar shape or profile, not as big, of course, but fall in the same manner at the same rate. That's a controlled demolition, folks. That means there was an inside job. And then you could talk about the Georgia Guidestones. You could talk about the Deagle Report. I found that all these things, you know, plant seeds. Some of them water the seeds that you planted. But it takes the Holy Spirit to wake the person up. So after you've done all of that, the best thing or the most important thing you can do is pray. And I have to keep moving, and right now it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K. Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started. Now, what I'd like to share with you today is what happens when you redeem the time for these days are evil and use the time that God gave you for his kingdom work. And we're going to get into that at the end of the show as I share a message from Pastor Todd, my notes from the message, I should say, from last Sunday. And it's really serendipitous, folks. I was praying that the Lord would give me some insight in how to talk about our time here on earth as Christians. And then that's what Pastor Todd talks about. So as you use your time to spread the word and shine the light of God's truth upon all these lies that we've been talking about on this show, Jesus tells us to rest assured. Rest assured that you will be persecuted. And why? Why? Because the world hates the light. Instead, it turns to darkness. And Jesus tells us about this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 14. So read it for yourselves. But I'm telling you something. Do not despair. We can overcome. By the grace of God, we can become overcomers. Now, there's a book titled Some Dogs That I Have Known. And it was written by an old Methodist preacher, and his name was Bob Schuller. Now, Schuller was in a town once. He was holding a revival, and he was always getting criticized when he'd have these revivals. People would call him Bible thumpers, holier than thou, you know, all the criticism you get when you share the gospel. Well, it happens anytime you share the truth, not just the gospel, but It really happens when you share the gospel. You know, Christ crucified, the blood of Jesus, Christ alone, your only way to salvation. So he was in a town once having a revival, getting a lot of criticism, and he was standing outside of a restaurant after the revival, and he saw a very strange sight coming down the road. There was this massive bulldog, huge. And you know how a bulldog walks, you know. They have their big jaws and those huge shoulder muscles, and they kind of just lumber along. And then right behind him was this little yapping mutt. This mutt wouldn't leave the bulldog alone, just nipping at its heels, snarling and yapping and running around and barking. But that old bulldog, it just kept walking. Now, that dog could have turned, that bulldog could have turned at any moment and snapped that mutt into two with one bite. But he didn't. He just kept walking. He paid no attention to that yapping mutt. Then Schuller went back into the restaurant and wrote down these words. And they're in his book. I did not laugh. I went to my room and said my prayers. I prayed, oh God, whatever the bulldog got, I want. Oh, for the ability to walk with strong tread straight ahead and let them yap and snarl, growl and bark to their heart's content. And then he pointed out, we need men who the acclaimed or howling threat of the multitude did not move. Men who walk on amid criticism, condemnation, anathema, cursings, content to know that in their very molding and making there is something. And listen to this, folks. This is so powerful, and this is the part I love. So royal as to defend them forever against such mouthings. Men who are too tall for stooping. Men whose ears are too close to heaven to hear the little growls from the throats of the worm-like things here on earth. Folks, I'm telling you, that's a good lesson for all of us truthers. We all need to be like that bulldog. That is, if we want to be in this information war. Because if you're in it, and that's one way to redeem the time for these days of evil, I'm telling you, I promise you, on the surety of the word of God, that you will be harassed like that bulldog was harassed by that yippy little mutt, or even worse. So take heed in these words and be like that bulldog. Pray for the grace of God to fill you and give you the strength you need to be an overcomer. Hey, I'm looking at the clock and it's getting late. It's time for our Back to the Future segment. Whoa, I had my mic off. I apologize. So this is the segment where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. So anyways, folks, I wanted to wind the clock back to 1995, okay? That's the year when this so-called nano-domestic quail program began in the Department of Defense, or supposedly began in the Department of Defense. Now, let's jump ahead about 7 or 8 years, somewhere around 2012, 2013. And there were all of these supposed classified documents titled Nano-Domestic Quail, the DOD kill switch, released by this man named Dr. Bill Weld. Go out there and you can find this information all over the internet. And I'm actually watching a resurgence of it right now among a lot of the people that are into the biosensors. You know, the crowd from the non-vaxxer 420 and Sabrina Wallace's Odyssey page. There's a lot of good work going out there, but I'm telling you that this DOD kill switch that was being touted by Bill Weld as the military's response to these black swan events, you know, be it an economic collapse or some kind of armed uprising or riots or any kind of domestic revolts, there's a supposed electromagnetic activated kill switch that was all perfected or unleashed upon the American public under this nano-domestic quail program. Now, it's all true in one regard. It's true that the U.S. Department of Defense has a program to implement a secret Armageddon nano device and mimic a virus. That's true. And it is planned to be activated on the public in some future Black Swan event. And it's also true that these nano devices are in or carried by a vast majority of the population. Right now, at this point, mostly the vaccinated. Just look into the works of Celeste Salome and Hope Entebbe. Plus, it's also true that these nano devices are benign until activated by a radio signal or a microwave transmission. Can anyone say 5G? And it's also true that the victim is safe until a cell tower, a drone, or other method of transmission activates the device. And once activated, the individual that had the device activated in them will have apparent signs of some sort of virus. Can anyone say Marburg virus? And it's true that the targeted individual will be dead in a matter of days. Plus, it's true that the military can target very specific locations, especially with drones. They could even target a small room, a small house, an apartment complex, a city block, a town, or even an entire metropolitan area, like they did in 2020 in New York with the scamdemic. And it's all done by simply activating this device through an electromagnetic signal. Remember our bioelectric bodies. And then a payload device that Brother Seth always documents from all the fallout from the skies ruptures and releases these nano devices into your body that ultimately cause you to die from what appears to be a very severe case of the flu or some other viral pathogen. Again, can anyone say Marburg virus? So if all of this is true, what's the big deal with this? Well, folks, there is no Dr. Bill. Well, there is none. He's the gnome deplore of a serial hoaxer named Justin Trimble. And in November 2013, Justin confessed his entire scam as an internet hoax. And he has a YouTube truther community out there in an uproar over all this. Now, I know this goes back 10 years, okay? But I'm telling you, on Monday, November 11th, 2013, Trimble shut down this Dr. Bill H. Weld YouTube page and his Facebook accounts. And he also modified Dr. Weld's blog to reflect the true owner himself. And he used the blog to issue an apology to all that he misled. Now, he also falsely accused a lot of people about committing crimes against him and his girlfriend, Brittany. He claimed they were being harassed and they even faced physical threats. So why am I bringing all this up to you? Well, this well-crafted hoax serves as a warning to all of us in the truther movement. Now, as I always say, don't believe anything you hear. Trust but verify. Be like a Berean. Don't even believe me, folks. Do your own research. And there's even a far deeper lesson here concerning this whole domestic quell scam, okay? And that's what it was. And this is a ploy of our enemy, the father of lies himself. And what does he do? Well, he takes a truth, and there is truth that there are these nanotechnologies out there, these weapons. So he takes this truth, and in this case, the truth is that our bodies are loaded with nanotechnology. Just study, like I said, the works of Celeste and Hope and Tavon. Just study their work. And then what he does is he wraps it up in a lie, kind of like an egg roll, you know? You take all that good stuff in the middle and you wrap it up in a piece of dough, and then you deep fry it. And in this case, that's the Nano Domestic Quell program. And then as the saying goes, when the fraud is revealed, what ends up happening? Well, you throw the baby, in this case, the nanotech that's in our bodies, out with the bathwater, which is dirty and wrong and foul. In this case, the NanoQuell program. You following what I'm saying here? So people who are in the truther movement realize that they've been scammed by this NanoQuell program. And so when they hear about nanotechnology that can be electromagnetically activated with a kill switch, they say, oh, no, that was a scam. That was all debunked back in 2013. Well, no, it hasn't, folks. And how? How do we apply this to the freaky deaky news of today? Well, in a recent episode of Jeff Prather's podcast, he had Todd Callender, the attorney that's filing all these lawsuits against Big Pharma for the vaccine injuries. He had Todd Callender on, and Todd was talking about how we all should prepare for Marburg scam is coming. It's going to be another scamdemic, and how 5G is going to be used to induce the zombie apocalypse. So let's have a listen to Jeff Prather interview Todd Callender. And I'll tell you, folks, this will blow your mind. Let's have a listen.
Yeah, sure. Been in the morbidity, mortality business for a long time, practiced international law around the world, including living and working in two communist countries and undoing the Soviet model economy. I understand who the players are in this genocide. I've done business with all of them, including the WHO. And when the Secretary of Defense illegally mandated the shots, he doesn't have the power to do that, I realized what this was all about. And I filed suit against them and raised a lot of issues, including the fact that everybody's kidney shots are number one, exploratory laboratory animals. Right? They're just test beds. And then number two, if you got the shots, the odds are, according to U.S. law, that you are owned by the patent holders. You're a new species called Homo Borogenesis, and you are owned. That's the nature of what our case says today. One of the advantages of suing the DOD with this many service members that are upset about the mandates is we've ended up with about 500,000 whistleblowers who have provided us a whole lot of really good information. So everything you said is well supported in documents that we have, testimony that we have, and expert witnesses. So
and how do we
in recent times,
back?
I've sent you a number of documents that actually support what you said. And our biggest concern, the reason Doc Chambers and I are here today, is we work as a team to understand both the science and the legal ramifications. And what I wanted to impart to you is under 42 CFR, Part 70 and 71, that the enabling statute for Health and Human Services to assume power upon the declaration of a public health emergency. They've already done that, as you indicated, with the COVID crisis. That is has resulted in the suspension of our Constitution. It's already happened. The next one is coming. In that statute, you will see that Marburg is already identified. You will note that the PREP Act has a Marburg provision that allows for additional spending when invoked. The Health and Human Services has already invoked the Marburg provision, meaning they've already parted ways with money and spent it under the HHS enabling statute to build quarantine camps, amongst other things. Throughout the United States, we interrupted two, one of which was in Cochise County, Arizona, where they were going to build a $1.9 million facility that houses the now merged four branches under HHS. The judiciary, law enforcement, corrections, and public health are now all one and the same, and they're all housed in the same facility. So all of these quarantine centers are there. We understand that there could have been a Marburg release that Dr. Chambers will get into. We think that one has already happened. We know that Marburg is not particularly contagious, but it has an extraordinarily high rate of fatality, and we know the mechanism by which this will be released, and that is inside of these shots that people already received, inside the lipid nanoparticles, the hydrogel, there exists pathogens inside of the particles that have not yet opened. Those pathogens are chimeric. They include E. coli, Marburg, Ebola, Staphylococcus, and Brewer's yeast, amongst others. We know that upon the broadcast from the 5G system that is now employed across the United States and the world for that matter, when they broadcast an 18 gigahertz signal for 1 minute, three different times as a pulse, it will cause those lipid nanoparticles to swell and release these pathogenic contents, thereby causing a Marburg epidemic that they've already spent the money on. It's already done. Right? The Marburg epidemic, for purposes of the law, has happened, and now we just need the actual disaster to happen. And there's actually worse parts to it than that, including the 1B36 gene deletion that effectively will turn those poor people into zombies. As odd as that sounds, our government's preparing for that.
But the FEMA have already put out zombie commercials and
yep.
Con-ops on that, correct?
That's correct. If you look at Con Plan 8888, Stratcom put that out in 2011. On page two, they say, oh, this is just for examples, just for demonstration. You know, don't worry about it so we don't offend other countries. The problem with that is you look through that Con Plan, it's all about five different types of zombies. There isn't anything in there about opposition forces. There isn't anything about winning political battles or counterinsurgencies. It is only about a zombie apocalypse, defending it. And you will see that every NIMS-compliant, practically, agency, or whether that's state, local, or federal, has already had their zombie apocalypse preparedness training. They've already done their practice. The CDC has had a zombie apocalypse preparedness website up for the last 5 years. Now they've reduced it to a PDF cartoon. Even in the Amazon Web Services contract, the force majeure clause, I believe it's Article 41, states that we're not liable for damages in case there's a zombie apocalypse. This is coming, folks. And the serious adverse event report Pfizer put out post-marketing, they had put out as part of the FOIA. The number one serious adverse event was the 1B36 gene deletion. You look at the symptomology for that, it is the elimination of the frontal cortex and a propensity to bite. What's very odd about this is this was the symptom post-vaccination. That disease is a congenital disease. It means you're born with it. So how is it then possible that this is the number one serious adverse event from the Pfizer shots? It's here, folks. And then you got Dr. Chambers here to tell you I'm not just a raving lunatic.
No. These are both very serious credentialed folks and patriots in their fields. I just met Doc Chambers, but just hearing his military resume impresses me. And I've, Todd and I have known each other for quite some time. So, and I also now work in corporate competitive biotech intelligence only for the good guys. That's my company is GrinX, which is genetics, robotics, information, nanotechnology. Don't talk about that much, but it's very – so I have some understanding of what's going on here. And so the lipid fat is what encases the delivery, and then it is activated and released by pulsing the 18 gigahertz. Is that correct, Todd?
That's exactly right. Think of the lipid nanoparticles as little bombers. What happened is the various manufacturers of these shots included three separate HIV proteins in each of them, including the AD5 adjuvant. The reason for that was to disable, to disarm people's immune system so that those little fat bombers could go inside of the cell and deliver their payloads in order to reprogram the person's body to produce synthetic DNA. In this case, they call it S proteins. When they turn that Marburg switch on, it will be M proteins. It will cause people to produce the Marburg pathogen themselves. At first and foremost, from a documentary point of view and self-legal help, VaxChoice, VaxChoice.com. There's a full repository of everything that we're talking about is there and other things. Self-help legal documents, and if you sign up, you can get a daily update. There's no donation button. There's no nothing. We just put this out for people's benefit. Separately, there's truthforhealth.org. Dr. Bleve Lee is in charge of that, and she's put out a Marburg fact sheet along with some things that we can do to try and stop what's coming or at least prevent it. Just like the COVID situation, there are medications that Dr. Chambers can talk about. There are therapeutics. Of course, the CDC got rid of those therapeutics and its advisory, saying only thing you know that you can do to treat Marburg is a vaccine. There's one actually already prepared for this. I think it's getting its emergency use authorization right now, which also tells us this is going to happen. Secondarily, yesterday we got information from a source, from a whistleblower, showing us that they are now training people on urban collection, isolation, and detention in reference to a public health emergency. So they're now training it. This training happens next week in South Carolina, once again in July. I'm sure that this is happening in more than one place. The United Nations has already hired people, specialists in quarantining that is on their payroll. That happened last year. I haven't seen if they've done it more recently. My point in telling you this, folks, is that we have tools to not fall for this again. There are therapeutic drugs that are available. I think one of them is called Fenben in the 444 milligrams. And then I understand from talking to doctors in Africa that have treated this that ozone, either IV or insufflated, also tends to work. So I also have one whistleblower inside of FEMA who said that the plan is to scare the hell out of everybody and scare them into going to the quarantine centers because they don't think they can collect everybody by themselves.
F them and to hell with their mandates. I, for one, will not comply. I will face the tyrants, and we must remain ungovernable in the face of tyranny. So when the media, the false prophet, spews more fear porn to compel compliance, do not comply. And when they say eat the bugs, do not comply. When they say take the jab, do not comply. When they say wear the mask, do not comply. When they say give up your AR-15, do not comply. When they say drive an electric vehicle, do not comply. And when they say live in a tiny house or a 15-minute city, do not comply. Folks, I hope you see how these lies just pile upon lie, upon lie, upon lie. Oh, and by the way, that 1P36 deletion syndrome that Todd Callender mentioned is the first side effect listed on Pfizer's adverse event list. You know, the one that the FDA tried to conceal until 2097, but was forced by a judge to release. Oh, and if you want to learn more about this whole Marburg scam, there's an article over on the Hive blog. It's titled Gates, the Next Pandemic. Marburg? Question mark. And then be sure to read the DOD Con Plan 8888. It's a PDF file. Read it, folks. Maybe we'll cover it next week. And there's a good video over on BitChute titled The Heretic. I'd suggest you watch it. Wow, I'm telling you, folks, these are truly evil times that we're living in. There's no other word for it, folks. So as I opened up with, we must learn how to redeem the time. We must. There's no other option, folks. So now in the midst of all of this stuff that we're talking about, let me ask you a question. Are you busy? Well, who isn't busy? But if so, beware. Because if we're doing what God wants us, we should have enough time each and every day to accomplish all the tasks at hand. Now, I like to say the word busy, B-U-S-Y, is an acronym for being burdened under Satan's yoke. So I'm telling you, folks, if you're busy in this end time information war, then stay tuned. Because as Pastor Todd said last week in his sermon at church, God wants us to use our time for his glory. Now, he didn't talk about time management. No. He talked about giving all of our time to God. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, see ye that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So here we have Paul telling us that these days are both troublesome and wicked. They truly are, folks. They are evil days. And we must make the best. You know, as believers, we must make the best use of our time as we avoid being burdened under Satan's yoke. Now, last week, Pastor Todd divided time into seven sections, and I just thought it was fantastic the way he did this. Seven sections of time that each and every one of us have. Each and every one of us, folks. And that's the truth. So first of all, he talked about giving God our century.
What? What? Are you serious?
Paul, yes. Paul, calm down. That's right, Paul, our century. In other words, our life. Now, Pastor Todd, he rounded it up to, you know, the average lifespan, what is it, 75, 80 years? He just rounded it up to 100, and he said, give God your century. So we're each here for a very small slice of his story or history, give or take 100 years. So we have a century, probably less, a few of us more, but you see the point. So just imagine what would be possible if you gave all your time to Jesus. Now, the truth is the best time to focus an individual on Jesus is during their childhood. And I'll be honest with you, folks, I cringe when I hear people say, well, I don't want to take my children to church. I'll let them decide that on their own when they come of age. How many times have you heard that, really? In my humble opinion, folks, that's really stinking thinking. It's like saying, well, we allow our children to potty train themselves. Talk about stinking thinking, eh? But on the converse, it's never too late to begin. So get started dedicating whatever you have left of your century to God. You know, epitaphs are important. So what will yours be? You know, the bottom line is that you mean more than a list of hobbies on your obituary when you die. We all need what I'm going to call accomplishments for Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 90, verses 10 through 17, the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength and labor sorrow? For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord be our God upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Bottom line, give it all to God, folks. Amen. And then he said, give God the season of your life. Now, there's four seasons, okay? So whatever age you are, you're in a season of life, spring, summer, fall, or winter. And call each of your seasons 25 years. So let's say 0 to 25, you're in the spring of your life. 25 to 50, you're in the summer of your life. 51 to 75, you're in the fall of your life. And 75 to 100, you're in the winter of your life. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 says, to everything there's a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down. A time to build up. A time to weep. A time to laugh. A time to mourn. A time to dance. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together. A time to embrace. A time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. The point here is, folks, different things happen in the different seasons of life. For example, spring. Do you hear Siri there? Siri, would you stop doing that? These spy devices, they drive me crazy, folks, right in the middle of something really important here. So there's four different seasons in our life. Spring of life, we're in this phase of character development. And in the summer of our life, you know, young adulthood into middle age, we're building and planning and doing a lot of work. And fall is a season of harvest. And then in the winter, despair not, folks, because that's when you become a mentor. So ask God for his direction in whatever particular season you are in your life. And remember, we all need to be doing kingdom work and fight the good fight. And as the church, if we do what Jesus intends us to do, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. So go on the offense, folks, and then give God your year. Just imagine what God could do if you gave him an entire year. More than any of us can imagine. You know, back in 2018, Terry and I dedicated our lives to Jesus. And in 10 short months, without surgery, God completely healed Terry of a 3-centimeter tumor that was found in her colon. Gone, completely gone. Praise the Lord. He did that in the period of time from it was first diagnosed on January 25th, and it was declared gone with MRI and with an endoscope in early October. Completely gone. Praise the Lord. That's just one example of what God could do in a year. And that's a miracle, folks. And then give God one day a week. And that's the Sabbath of old. And let's face it, we all need a day of rest and worship. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So just imagine what God can do in your life if you just spend one day a week in worship and rest. And remember what our parents and grandparents always used to say. I remember this when I wanted to stay up and watch Fright Night with Chili Billy Cardill here on WPXI in Pittsburgh. They'd say Sunday morning starts Saturday night. In other words, allow time, give yourself some margin on Saturday night so that you're rested up for church on Sunday morning. Plus, and this is the fifth thing, give God several hours a week, kingdom time. Intentional time, and that takes time and purpose. So you need to volunteer. And sometimes you may say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, just jump in and help out. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 reads, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In other words, folks, when you're saved, you got to show it with some shoe leather. Because faith without works is dead. And then number six, just give God at least 30 minutes per day. Call that your devotional time, your daily time with the Lord. Find some time to spend with God. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, my voice shalt hear thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Now some of you might do better in the morning. Others might do better at night. I get up at 4:30 and I spend about an hour in the Word of God. And if I didn't, folks, I don't think I'd have a very good day. So just make time. Make sure you have your Bible, a notebook or an iPad or a tablet or whatever way that you take notes. And part of it should be prayer. And when you pray, pray with expectation. Pray that, Lord, this day is going to be a great day because I started it with you. Do you ever have a grumpy morning? Just remember, the Bible says that every day is a new day. And then finally, number seven, Give God just 3 minutes. Now, I know that sounds really easy, 3 minutes, unless you're listening to someone else talk. Now, me, you listen to me talk for about 2 hours plus here. You must be a real saint. So what Pastor Todd's saying there is be able to give your story, your testimony, your witness to the saving power of God in 3 minutes or less. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we can call that your 3 minute elevator pitch. You ever hear that when marketing and sales? So you typically have 3 minutes with somebody on an elevator. 3 minutes, and then when the door opens, they leave. So it's easy. Just plan 1 minute for each of the following questions or points or highlights. Spend the first minute, and you have to plan this out, so you have to think about it and have it prepared ahead of time. Think about how you would describe to another, a stranger, your life before Jesus. And then spend the second minute explaining how you encountered Jesus. What was your encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? When did he become your Lord and Savior? And then your brother and your friend. And then third minute, what has changed since you surrendered all for Jesus? What has changed since you put your hands up in the air and declared, forsaking all, I trust him? Just remember, God wants you as a witness, not as a prosecuting or defense attorney. So you don't have to be able to argue the faith. All you have to do is to be able to share with others in 3 minutes or less what your life was like before Jesus, how you encountered him, and what he changed in your life after that encounter and your surrender to him. So work it out. Just plan it. 3 points, 1 minute each. Give God just 3 minutes at each and every opportunity he prepares for you as his witness. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. And I agree with that. I say a big hearty amen to that. But, and I'm not disagreeing with the Word of God. All I'm saying is there is something that I do believe we can send to heaven, a treasure we can send to heaven. And something that we'll never be able to do once we do get to heaven. And you know what that is? Share our testimony with others and co-labor with the Holy Spirit to get people saved. Now, the Holy Spirit ultimately is the one who saves them. They are convicted by the Holy Spirit, and by the grace of God, they're saved. But you can plant a seed, and you can water the seed that somebody else planted. And that's how we co-labor with the Lord. So that's why your testimony is so important. We can literally work with God. We can co-labor with God to help get other people saved, and that's the treasure we lay up in heaven. You could say those are the gemstones in your crown that you're going to cast before the feet of the Lord. So, in closing, folks, give God your century. Give God your season. Give God your year. Give God your week. Give God your hours. Give God 30 minutes a day and 3 minutes when every opportunity is presented to you. Now, if you could just take a minute and reflect just for a moment on whatever may have convicted you as you heard this. Was it your century? Was it your season? Was it your year, your week, your hours, your 30 minutes a day, or your 3 minutes at every opportune moment? And take that to God in prayer and just ask him to give you the grace you need through the agency and the power of the Holy Spirit to create a bright future in the midst of all these evil, dark days we're living in so that you can accomplish your kingdom work, even though these days are evil. So, dear Lord, I pray that you allow each of us to rest in you and prepare us to be warriors as we move through your grace into action in these dire times of need. Folks, we need to seek life change. And we need to have an impact on his kingdom. And I pray in Jesus' name and claim his precious blood for all of our salvations. So, folks, stand in that truth that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And know one thing, folks, that in the midst of it all, as Winston Churchill said, we should never give in, No, never. No, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, that same power is the Holy Spirit of God, and that same power lives in you. If you put your hands up in a sign of surrender and said, forsaking all, I trust him. And remember that that same power will give you the power to do everything in those seven segments of time. So let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and praise the Lord. I love y'all.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded death to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us.
We all cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and his victory is in Jesus.
Oh, in victory.